Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, the Blessed Sacrament. We come together here on the Day with Mary. The next time we have a Day with Mary, we will already be in the season of Advent. As I was mentioning in the homily, Advent is a time like Lent for preparation, for preparing ourselves for the coming of someone. And just as an athlete would put in a lot of hours if they wanted to go to some kind of competition, let alone the Olympics, any kind of competition, in a similar way, Advent and Lent prepare us for the receiving of something great. An athlete will hope to receive a gold medal. We hope to receive the King and God of the universe. Coincidentally, of course, we're also in the Year of Mercy, and we're also at the shrine for soon, one day, in a couple of years, hopefully, within a couple of years, to be the shrine of the Divine Mercy. And so, the things that we do, we give up, we take on, out of love for God during Advent, are all done because in God's mercy, He gives us the strength to do them. He allows us to participate in this relationship with Him. He's the one that gives us the energy, the potential, the capacity. First of all, by giving us existence. Through His power, we have been created. Through His goodness, we are upheld in creation. If it was possible, if God was to stop thinking about us, for lack of a better way to put it, for an instant, we would be annihilated. We would disappear from existence. But He will never do that. Just as any of you would never do that for your children. You'd never wish your children never existed. And so how much more God, who is the perfect Father, should not wish that. So how do we fructify, to use the theological term, how do we make fruitful? How do we make the best of this time we have? Again, the Advents and the Lents are supposed to be, yes, times of preparation, but also times of reminder that our whole life is a period of preparation for something which is even more important than anything that'll happen in this world. Of course, our number one means is our Lord in the Eucharist. You know, when you're near death and the priest comes and he'll give you the anointing of the sick, and if you're able, he'll also give you communion. And that communion, that last communion, is often called viaticum. You'll be familiar with the term, many of you. Viaticum comes from three words in Latin, something like that. In Italian, it would be three. Via tecum, on the way with you. He's with us on the way. Food for the journey. But it's not just in our last journey towards the Eternal Father. He wants to be with us in our journey the whole way. And the only way we can have a successful journey, the only way our journey can actually take us to the destination we actually were meant for, is with Him. He has to be our companion. Now, God is everywhere. We know that. He's omnipresent. He's in every part of creation. He's not in everything. He's not everything, rather, but He's everywhere. However, He has given us this gift of Him in a very special, unique way in the Eucharist. You know, you've heard it before. Theologically, He's really, truly, and substantially present in the Eucharist. He is personally present. This is God here, the God of all ages. The God you read about in the Old Testament from Genesis until Revelation, He is here on the altar in a way not just spiritual, but even tasteable, edible. I know tasteable isn't a word. Edible. We can see Him. We can feel Him. We can smell Him. That's how close He wants to be with us. He wants us to know without doubt that He is here. He wants us to know both spiritually that He's here and in this physical way as well. He doesn't want just to be our companion on the journey. He wants to be our very sustenance, our food for the journey. Now, if you were a hungry person, you were starving, and somebody offered you a way of satisfying that hunger, you would jump at it. More so if your children or your friends and those you love were starving and there was a way of giving them food, you would do anything to help them understand where that food was if they didn't know where to look. Well, we know where the food is. We know where the source of our sustenance will come from. We have some understanding. Granted, it's not a full understanding. Who can understand this mystery completely? We'll have all of eternity in heaven to understand it, where God becomes man and man, and that God-man becomes takes the form of flesh, of bread, rather. But we know that this here on the altar is Jesus Christ and God. God among us. You know, some of the meditations of St. Alphonsus Liguori in his visits to the Blessed Sacrament, he talks about that in all the history of paganism and all the gods of the pagans, of the Romans and the Greeks and the rest of them, they never, ever imagined a God like this. They never imagined a God who would not only come down and become man, but he would become the very food of other men. They couldn't even imagine that a God would do this. There is another account where a Christian and a non-Christian, as a priest, was walking through the street with the viaticum for somebody who was dying, and he had a server with him somewhere in Christian Europe in the era of Christendom, and everyone knelt before God, and the non-Christian says, "What's happening?" And the Christian told him, "Well, that's our God going to the sick." And the non-Christian said, who I believe was actually a Muslim, who said, "But you, obviously you Christians have no idea about the grandeur of God. He won't go to somebody." And the Christian replied, "Well, clearly you don't understand the love of God. Well, he will go anywhere. He will do anything that he can to save a soul." And that's our meditation, of course, on the crucifixion. There is nothing outside. There's nothing that God can do that he won't do or hasn't done for a soul, including becoming his very food, becoming something which, you know, he's at the disposal of man. And over the centuries, he has been abused, taken out, sacrileged. Oh my goodness. Desecrated. Thank you. I feel like I'm in a classroom now. We therefore need to take advantage once again of this gift. If we could but meditate and contemplate and have some understanding how good this God of ours is. You know, we know good people in our life, and we appreciate genuine, sincere people. Sometimes it seems it's hard to find them because we have so many flaws. But when we find a genuine, sincere person, we cling to them. We go to them. If you find a sincere mechanic, you always go to him. At least I do, if you can find one, and who's reasonably priced. You've got the best mechanic on earth here, not for your car maybe, but for your soul. Let us take advantage of him, therefore. Take profit of him. Take advantage of all the graces he wants to give us, and prepare ourselves to receive him. Again, Advent, coming up next month, or just in a couple of weeks really, Advent is a moment when we prepare to remember the coming of Jesus Christ as a babe in Bethlehem. But every moment of our day should be a time, an Advent, a preparation of receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. If we're not preparing ourselves to receive him, we risk missing him when he comes. We really need help, therefore, in this matter. And really, the best person to talk with this about is with our Lord himself. Just spend time with him. And that can be hard. But just go and spend time with him. Go and sit in the chapel. If you've got some time free, or if you can make some free time, go to a local chapel, whether our Lord's exposed or not. Go and sit in front of the tabernacle, in front of our Lord. And if you've got nothing to say, then just sit with him. Spend time with him. Because he's the one who loves you perfectly. It will do you no harm. It can only do you good. And you can only come to know him better by spending that time with him. So maybe in Advent, and you can make yourself an honorary Franciscan and start your Advent now like we already have, the Franciscans have. Maybe in Advent, that can be one of the things that you do. Give up some of your time and just spend it with Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Sacrifice that time. Just spend time with him because you love him, because he's worthy of being loved, because you want to come to know him, and because it's good for your soul also. As always, we ask Our Lady to have mercy on us and to show us the best way to do this, to give us the courage, and we follow her example. She followed Christ everywhere, and she already was immaculate. She didn't need any of her sins forgiven, but nevertheless, such was her understanding of love and of Christ. When you find someone who is perfectly lovable and loves you perfectly, you want to remain with them always. Let us therefore remain close to Christ, profit from his presence with us, so that we may receive him ever more worthily and participate in his saving graces for the world.